The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com.
Welcome to the Seeking Truth Catholic Bible Study with Sharon Doran and our series on the Gospel of Luke.
Hi, friends. This is Sharon Doran from SeekingTruth.net. We're working our way through the Gospel of Luke. We are on Luke chapter 2. We're talking about a new title for Mary, Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant. The Holy Spirit has overshadowed Mary. We know in the Greek the word is episkiesi, to be overshadowed. It's used with the ark in the Old Testament, the overshadowing, the glory of the Lord filling the ark, the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting, wherever the true divine presence of God was. And now we see that Mary has been overshadowed by the Most High God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will conceive a child, and he shall be holy. He shall be called the Son of God, making Mary the mother of God and making Mary full of the true presence, the divine presence of God. Mary becomes a new tent of the meeting. Mary becomes a new tabernacle of the living God. Mary becomes the Holy of Holies. Jesus says in John 2, Jesus says that he is the temple. Jesus said, destroy this temple. I'll raise it in 3 days. And the Jews said, well, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple he was speaking of was his own body. And his body is the true presence of God. And his body is in Mary's body. Her body becomes a temple, and he's the Holy of Holies in her body, in her temple. It's just amazing. But we see so many connections between the old Ark of the Covenant, the gold box they carried all around, and the new Ark of the Covenant, the golden box of her womb that she will carry the true divine presence in. She becomes a new Ark. She's going to have the true presence of God. She's to name him Jesus. The word means God saves. We still have Jesus who's done the work of salvation. We still have him in a gold box. It's called a tabernacle. It's at every Catholic church with the true presence of the divine God residing inside. The candle is lit to signify his presence. Sometimes we have the adoration, the Eucharist exposed in a beautiful gold monstrance because it's the true presence of God for us to adore and worship. This is what Mary had inside of her ark, her womb. And in Luke 1 at verse 36, we are told, behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I want to pause right there and tell you, friends, if you are going through something in your life right now that seems absolutely impossible, it might be something with a kid, might be something with a marriage, might be something with a job, maybe you're infertile, maybe your child's in trouble. Nothing will be impossible with God. Just cling to that verse. Cling to that verse. Nothing will be impossible with God. Right after that verse is where Mary gives her beautiful yes, her beautiful full consent. And if you remember in Greek mythology, and then later in Roman mythology, where they adopted the Roman gods and put their own twists on the stories, oftentimes a human woman was raped by a god. Not here, my friends. This is no myth. Mary gives full consent. Full consent. And Mary says, behold, I am a handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. She believes the word of the angel who has come to tell her, Gabriel has come to tell her that she would bear the Son of God. And she gives her full consent, her full yes, and we call it her fiat. And it says in Catechism 2622 that the prayers of the Virgin Mary in her Fiat and her Magnificat are characterized by the generous offering of her whole being in faith. She's giving all her heart, all her soul, all her mind, all her strength, just like Deuteronomy 6, the Shema prayer that would be prayed in the morning and in the evening by the Jewish people. She gives her yes, her fiat. And also in Catechism at number 973, by pronouncing her fiat at the Annunciation and giving her consent to the Incarnation, Mary has already collaborated with the whole work of her Son that he was to accomplish. She is the mother wherever he is the Savior, the head of the mystical body. So Christ is head, we're the body. It's her Son, and I love what Pope St. Pius X said about Mary. He said, Mary is the dispensatrix of all the gifts. She is the neck connecting the head of the mystical body to the members. But all power flows through the neck. Isn't that a wonderful vision? That Mary's the neck of the mystical body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body, she's the neck, and everything flows through the neck to the head, to the body. You know the funny little story that the husband is the head of the household and the wife is the neck, and the neck can turn the head whichever way she pleases. I just find it amusing how Pope Pius X said Mary's the neck and that all the power flows through her. It's just a beautiful image to contemplate because she's our advocate. She's fully human. She's fully creature, and we can relate with that. She's sinless. We can't relate with that. She has no original sin. Well, neither do we. After we're baptized, our original sin has been washed away. But we're in a fallen human nature. We still have concupiscence. Even though we've been redeemed in baptism, we still sin after our baptism. But she's that neck, and she's that advocate, and she has that ear of the Queen Mother. When Solomon would put a chair to his right for his queen mother, Bathsheba, people would ask Bathsheba, will you take this to the king? Because you have his ear. He'll do what you ask. And so we see Mary, queen mother, the seat of wisdom. Jesus came through Mary. All wisdom came through Mary. Jesus is wisdom himself. Solomon had wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. And Mary, the seat of wisdom to the right of him, has his ear. That's why she's an advocate for us. And so anyway, it's just a fun image to think of her as the neck of the mystical body and the power flowing from the body through the neck to the head. She can bend the ear of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I often bring my children to her, my husband to her. I have stained the floor at church in front of Mary's altar. I go and I pray with Mary, and my tears drop on the floor. I've seen them drop on the floor in front of her, and I can go to her with anything because she is so confidential and she loves her children so much, and she will bring my prayer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I can trust her. She's not going to blab. She's not going to tell the whole neighborhood what's wrong with the Dorans. She listens and she brings it to Jesus and she says to me, do whatever he tells you. Oh, I love her so much. But anyway, she goes on to say then her fiat, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And she's talking about the word of the angel, and then the angel departs from her. Now, immediately, verse 39, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. Now, friends, we know that city is called Ayin Karim, and it is in Israel. It's there to this day. It's in the foothills of outside Jerusalem, Ayin Karim. And there you will find the Church of the Visitation. And I had the good fortune to be at the Church of Visitation on the Feast of the Visitation. I had no idea we were going to be there on that day, but we were. Also in that same town is the Church of John the Baptist in En Karim, Israel. This is where the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah was. And this is why Mary goes with haste, because she is told by the angel that her kinswoman Elizabeth is also with child. And she must talk to her. So she runs. She goes with haste. And when you go there to the Church of John the Baptist, you can see the actual birthplace of John. You can venerate there. You can touch the place where he was born. It would have been at the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Mary entered the house of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. Now, this is something to contemplate. John is leaping, recognizing in the womb, in her womb as a fetus, he is recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Remember, Zechariah was told that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from conception on. So John, as a fetus, has a heightened awareness, and it's a fantastic apologetic also that life begins at the moment of conception because he's filled with the Holy Spirit in utero. And he knows. And if you look at the paintings, and I love the paintings because if you go to our website, I use about 300 images per lecture because these paintings, I'm a visual learner, and these paintings really speak to me, but I'll try to describe it to you in words. Jesus is in the womb of Mary. She's just newly conceived. Elizabeth, for 6 months, John has been growing in her womb. And these two women meet, and John, the six-month fetus, leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And the paintings show Jesus with his right hand up, blessing John. Jesus is way smaller. He should be way smaller, but in the paintings, he's bigger. He's bigger in Mary's womb because he's Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and John recognizes that full of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus blesses John. John leaps, and then John kneels down, and Jesus blesses him. It's so beautiful. But Elizabeth also is filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is new in the New Testament where people are filled and indwelt with the Holy Spirit. This is part of the new covenant that God's bringing. He's introducing it right here. These are the first characters. Elizabeth exclaimed with a loud cry. Now, the Greek term used here is anaphonesin, and it means to exclaim with shouts of joy. Anaphonesin was not a common word. It's used in the Old Testament only in context with the liturgical celebration where the Ark of the Covenant is present. Isn't that amazing? Luke is very carefully choosing his verbs. He is telling a hidden story. Remember, he's the only one who's interviewed Mary and brought us her story. That's how we know. Elizabeth exclaimed in a loud cry, anaphonesin, in front of the new ark of a new covenant, because that word is only used in the Old Testament in front of the ark of the old covenant. And Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, is what we say in our rosary. Billions of times every day, this is prayed around the world. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. What does it mean to be blessed? Well, my friends, listen close. Mary is the only woman in the entire New Testament to be called blessed. And Elizabeth, full of the Holy Spirit, says, also blessed is the fruit of your womb, Mary. So Mary is blessed, and Jesus Christ is blessed. The only blesseds in the New Testament. Are there any blesseds in the Old Testament? Yes. Two. There are two blessed women in the Old Testament. Let me tell you who they are.
We'll return to Seeking Truth Catholic Bible Study with Sharon Doran in just a moment.
Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today.
The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection implored thy help.
or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Hello, friends. Please take a look at SeekingTruth.net and find out how you can join as an individual online learner. Sharon's lectures are presented in a rich media format with audio, video, and an abundance of beautiful images which draw you into a deeper understanding of God's Word. In addition, part of the Seeking Truth mission is to build parish life through the communal study of God's Word. To encourage parishes to begin a Bible study, Seeking Truth offers its curriculum free of charge for parishes hosting a class. Please visit us at SeekingTruth.net, where you can register to bring Seeking Truth to your own local parish. We now return to Seeking Truth Catholic Bible Study with Sharon Doran.
First one, we're going to have to go back to Judges 4, and in the time of the judges, there was only one judge out of all the 12 judges that was a woman, and it was Deborah. She was the only female judge of Israel. It's not her that's blessed, but she's involved with this first story. She was a prophetess, and she used to sit under the palm of Deborah, and the people of Israel would come to her for judgment. She was so wise, and she was a prophetess. Now, Israel was in terrible place at this time. They were in war, and the commander of the Israeli army, Barak is his name, came to Deborah one day. And the Lord said through Deborah that I will draw out General Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river. I'm going to give him over to your hand. But Barak said to Deborah, he wanted Deborah to go with them to battle, this woman. I need you to go with me. If you will go with me, I will go, said Barak. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. So Deborah consents to going into battle with Barak for the sake of the salvation of Israel so that they don't become extinct, because she knows that the Savior one day will come through Israel. He's supposed to come through a virgin woman from their country. If they become extinct, then there will be no Messiah. So she goes. General Sisera is the commander of the Canaanite army. They're fighting against the Canaanites on this time. So she goes with Barak. Now, in the meantime, a woman named Jael is in her tent, and this general of the Canaanite army, Sisera, comes to her in her tent, and he's been running and fighting, and he's tired, he's thirsty. They're in war. And Jael says to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, have no fear. So he, General Sisera, comes into her tent. She covers him up with a rug, and he is begging her for some water to drink. He's so thirsty. And she opens up a skin of milk. Not only water, she gives him milk. She lets him drink it, and then she covers him up, and he gets the signal that this is a safe place where he can rest. And Sisera said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you if anyone's here, say no. But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. She went softly over to him where he was resting, and she drove the peg into his temple till it went down into the ground, and there he lay fast asleep from weariness, and he died. And behold, Barak is pursuing General Sisera, and Jael comes out to meet him, and he says to her, come, and I'll show you. She says to him, come, and I'll show you the man you're looking for. So he goes into Jael's tent, and there lay General Sisera dead with the tent peg in his temple from this little woman, Jael, with the hammer in her hand. And when Barak tells Deborah what has happened, Deborah's with him, remember, he makes her go, she says, most blessed of women be Jael, most blessed of women. He asked for water, she gave him milk. She brought curds in a lordly bowl. She put her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet, and she struck Sisera a blow. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. He sank, he fell. He lay still at her feet. At the feet, he sank, he fell, and he's dead. Blessed be Jael. Why? Because, my friends, Jael was a head crusher. She had crushed the head of the enemy of Israel. Ah, blessed be Jael, the head-crushing woman who cooperated with the salvation of Israel. Most blessed of all women be Jael, most blessed of tent-dwelling women. She's blessed. She's a head-crusher. Second woman to be blessed. It's also a woman. And it's at the time when the Assyrian army wants to wipe out Israel. The commanding general is Holofernes. And Holofernes, Judith, the widow, the Jewish widow, has greatly pleased Holofernes. He drank a great quantity of wine, much more than he had ever drunk in any one day since he was born. That's not going to be good. You can find this in Judges 12. Judith was left alone in the tent with Holofernes, stretched out on the bed, and he was overcome with wine. Now Judith had told her maid to stand outside the bedchamber and to wait for her to come out, as she did every day, because she said she would be going out for her prayers. When Judith, standing beside his bed, said in her heart, O Lord God of all might, look in this hour upon the work of my hands for the exaltation of Jerusalem. For now is the time to help thy inheritance and to carry out my undertaking for the destruction of the enemies who have risen up against us. She went up to the post at the end of the bed, above Holofernes' head. She took down his sword that hung there. She came close to his bed, took hold of the hair of his head and said, Give me strength this day, O Lord God of Israel. And then she struck his neck twice with all her might and severed his head from his body. And then she tumbled his body off the bed and pulled down the canopy from the post. And after a moment, she went out and gave the head of Holofernes to her maid, who placed it in the food basket and into the food bag. Oh, Judith called out from afar to the watchman at the gates, Open the gate! Open the gates. God our God is still with us to show his power in Israel and his strength against our enemies, even as he has done this day. And she said to them with a loud voice, Praise God, O praise him, praise God, who has not withdrawn his mercy from the house of Israel, but he has destroyed our enemies by my hand this very night. Oh my goodness, the Lord God had struck down Holofernes, the Assyrian commander. He had struck him down at the hand of the woman. And in Judith 14, we read, Blessed are you in every tent of Judah, Judith. Blessed are you in every nation. Every nation who will hear your name will be alarmed. Blessed be Judith. Blessed Judith, my friends, is also a head-crushing woman. Blessed Jael is a head-crushing woman. Blessed Mary is a head-crushing woman. Blessed be Jael. Blessed be Judith. Blessed be you, Mary, among all women. And blessed be the fruit of your womb, because Jesus, too, will be the final head-crusher. From the house of David they come. David was the head-crusher of the Philistine giant Goliath. Mary and Jesus will be the head crusher of the cosmic battle of Satan. Lucifer, the cursed one, from Genesis 3:15, when God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but you will bruise his heel. Jesus is blessed. Mary is blessed. Judith is blessed. Jael is blessed. They're all head crushers. Remember, he's lying in wait, waiting to devour the child of the virgin woman. The moment the child is born, Satan wants to devour it. No, be not afraid. I will be with you. And he was. And so when you go into the Immaculate Conception Room at the Vatican and you look up at the ceiling, you're going to see Jael with her hammer crushing the head of Sisera. You're going to see Judith with the sword of Holofernes slicing his head, crushing his head. Also, when you go to Ankarim in Israel and you go up into the Catholic Church of the Visitation, you're going to look around the beautiful paintings around the whole church are the women who were involved in the salvation of Israel. And you're going to see them around the whole entire church, and you're going to see three grouped together, Blessed Judith, Blessed Mary, and Blessed Jael. Jael with her hammer, Judith with the sword, and Mary crushing the head of Satan. So when Elizabeth exclaims with a loud cry, Anaphaneo, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed, she knows Mary is going to bear the Messiah. Mary will be the one who cooperates with the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, the first gospel. Together, Mary and Jesus work for salvation. Jesus crushes his head on the cross, and Mary totally cooperates. She is right there at the foot of the cross. She won't leave his side for a moment. Was it easy? No. Simeon had told her. We'll discuss that next week, but Simeon had said, a sword will pierce your own soul too. It's not going to be easy. A sword will pierce her soul as she watches this whole plan of God unfold. Yet she will trust. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Were they rewarded? Oh, yes, they were rewarded. Jesus can't wait to ascend to the right hand of the Father, which he does very soon. 40 days, he's up and gone. Were they rewarded, Mary? Yes. She is crowned queen of heaven and earth. She's above all saints and angels. That's why Lucifer hated her so much. When he, in full intelligence, as the greatest seraph angel, got to see that a human creature is going to be above him in heaven, she will be a queen over him in heaven, over all the saints and all the angels. No way, I will not serve this plan. They were rewarded. Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father. Mary is crowned queen over saints and angels, and she sits at the right hand of Jesus Christ, where she can be an advocate in his ear. The queen mother whispering to her son, and he whispering to the Father, interceding on behalf of all of us. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And all generations will call me blessed, said Mary. She's not bragging there. She's telling the truth. All generations will call me blessed because Mary has had a part in the cosmic head crushing of Satan. Because of Mary and her yes, Jesus could be born and Jesus could make the way back to the Father from the sealed gate. Jesus will open the gate. Ezekiel 44. And Elizabeth said, why? Why is this granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth knew by the Holy Spirit. She bows down to Mary. The elder should be bowing to Mary should be bowing down to Elizabeth, but Elizabeth is on her knees in the paintings in front of Mary. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The Ark of the New Covenant has come to her. The context of the contents, the divine presence of God has come and visited Elizabeth in her own house. She says, for behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed. Okay, so Elizabeth, again, a third time, calls her blessed. Blessed is she who believed, because her own husband, Zechariah, did not believe, and that's why he's been muted. But blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken to her. Her husband didn't do that. Mary did do that. And again, Elizabeth calls her blessed. She's cooperating with the cosmic plan of God to crush the head of Satan. Anaphanasin, this exclaims shouts of joy that are only found in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Once again, friends, just as a final review, what was in that Ark? The old Ark carried the Word of God. It was written on stone tablets. You can find that in Exodus 25. It also had the manna placed in it. Manna, the bread of angels that God dropped for them to eat in the desert. You can find that in Exodus 16. And it also had the rod or the staff of Aaron, the high priest. That was the rod that bloomed, giving him the priestly authority, the high priesthood. What's Mary, this new Ark of the Covenant, have in her womb? The incarnate word of God that's going to be written on the hearts of people. She carries Jesus himself, who is the bread of life, the bread of immortality, the bread of heaven that has come down. She also carried Jesus, who is the eternal high priest. And Jesus will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation 12, confirming Genesis 49, Jacob's final blessing. Friends, Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. Join me next time, seekingtruth.net. Join me next time on Discerning Hearts, where we will continue to open up the gospel of
Thank you for joining us for the Seeking Truth Catholic Bible Study with Sharon Doran. Join us next time as we continue our study of the Gospel of Luke. For more information, be sure to visit SeekingTruth.net.